Hello, this is your host, Alexandria Roycraft, and this is The Truth Behind the Iron Suit. This is a doc podcast that will be diving into the character development and analysis of Tony Stark, also referred to as Iron Man. Now, I just want to give a warning before I dive deep into this fascinating topic. There will be spoilers within this podcast of Iron Man's character development, his storyline, and events that happen in various Marvel movies. Just want to give that forewarning, just in case you haven't seen the movies. But with that, let's go. Now, Iron Man was originally a comic book, like majority of the characters and superheroes in the Marvel franchise. Now we have to understand the importance of comic books to really understand his character and the growth of it that we have seen in the films in this past decade. Now, comic books have allowed society to connect with the unknown. You know, as a society, it craves for hope, and comic books really feed on that. They have superheroes in them that bring these qualities that society wants or needs or wishes for to life and to our imagination. They make something that's impossible seem realistic. Now, stated by Dr. Cal Bliss in Superhero Comics, Artifacts of the U.S. Experience, he quotes on page 145, "The place of comic books in contemporary discussion of the American experience have been seen as a link to popular culture. The comic book genre, especially its most popular aspect, the superhero, uses visual cues to reduce individual characters into the representation of cultural ideas." Now, to make it sound less educational, this basically is just comic books were created as a leeway to connect to current events and things that are happening right now, using superheroes as kind of this buffer, as the good guy. Because how can superheroes be bad, right? They have their flaws, because as you learn, like Tony Stark, not all superheroes are gods. They're just humans with a lot of money and the access and intelligence for technology. Now, the first comic books and superheroes were really used for a bridge for politics and current events to the audience. And you can see these in comic books created in the 50s and 60s and 70s with all of the wars going on and the political unrest and the propaganda. Comic books became another form of media to spread a message. And the famous Stan Lee, who created the Marvel comics that we love, also created Iron Man. And he created Iron Man in the 60s and Tony Stark character as one to reflect the Cold War and what was happening in Vietnam. In comic books at the time when the Cold War ended, the Tony Stark character is seen apologizing in them, which as we go on, you'll realize Tony Stark's character, he does have moments and phases of being full of himself and very proud and, you know, almost has to apologize for not being correct. But I think in the time where this comic book was released, it is almost as Iron Man is America, the government, and they're apologizing for anything they said or things hurt. And this was the way of kind of being like, okay, do you forgive me? I'm this powerful superhero. I give you hope, even though bad things have happened and I may have caused bad things. Do you forgive me? Which is really interesting. Now, one film before we discuss Tony Stark's origin, that you really see this is Captain America Civil War from 2016. Now, additionally, Captain America on his own is a very interesting character in the Marvel universe and comic books to analyze for political and American society and culture. But in this film particular, Iron Man and Captain Man have this huge disagreement over the international oversight of the Avengers. And it really shows the relationship and the conflicts that arise from old America, which what Captain America, you know, like
the fighting and the values and very like, this is America versus modern America, which is Tony Stark, Iron Man. And it's kind of like a technology point of view. Like, if we have the money and we have the technology, why not? And they kind of, you know, butt heads and everything. And of course, this does start the Avengers and realizing there's more people out there who are intelligent and powerful and superheroes as well. But all in all, you can see references to Stark and his family line and in the Captain America films that took place in the 50s. So it's very intriguing to understand that Tony Stark, even though its rise of popularity right now in the 21st century, that he's been popular and has been a famous figure back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and his character itself has been used for that. Now, let's get into the background of Tony Stark and the first film of the Iron Man series, which is the 2008 one. Now, this film really explains his origin story for those who didn't read his comic books or really understood his involvement besides, oh, he's one of the rich guys in there who creates everything, hence Stark Industries. Well, to start off his journey in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they created this film. And Tony Stark basically inherits Stark's Industries from his father, Howard Stark. So he has daddy's money, as one would say. Anyway, he goes to Afghanistan to show off a new missile that his company and him has created. He is captured by a terrorist group who wants Stark to create a missile for their terrorist organization. Within that, Stark got injured and something happened to his heart. There was a doctor there who was also held captive and creates an artificial heart for Stark to stay alive. And this is the famous glowy arch you see in Iron Man's chest, also in his Iron Man suit, and plays a big role in the film and also his character development. So anyway, they are stuck in this cave trapped, and the people were like, you gotta make us a missile, what are you gonna do? Now they plan a way to escape, and Tony makes an iron suit to do that, hence the start of Iron Man. When Tony arrives home safely, he is like, we gotta end all creation of weapons made by my company, as he realized that though he could profit a lot of money and become wealthy and powerful, it's not worth it because he sees the negative side of these weapons and he just does not want them to get in the wrong hands. So when he says that in a press conference, of course, a lot of people that he's worked with or working with do not like that, as they want money, they want power, they do not care about the well-beings of others. Of course, this goes on to an additional hour of showing off technology, various Iron Man suits, and a lot of fighting, which is visually really cool in the film. I think for comparing it to the 2019 Marvel films versus 2008, 10 years of advancement in technology and CGI, definitely you can tell, but it was still very visually a good action movie, and it did produce a lot of hype, and it definitely grossed a lot of money during the box office. Anyway, at the end, Stark saves the day, and he confesses to be the infamous Iron Man. Now, this can be seen as kind of like, oh, he just wants the ego, he just wants everyone to know he's Iron Man so he can get the phase. But it isn't. He says it very casually, and it's more like, I'm Iron Man, okay, I got some stuff I gotta do, I'm gonna save the world, you know? So even though it may be seen as a selfish move, if you look at what he becomes and how important it is for him to announce who he is, it shows that he's not afraid, that he's going to stand up. And that may be seen as cocky, but I think also that's very heroic to stand up and be like, I did this and I'm going to fight for me. And I know this means people are now going to come after me and try. And you may not have a lot of friends in your life, but he's going to stand up for what he believes in. And I think that's truly what makes a quote unquote hero. Now, the Iron Man film stars Robert Downey Jr., and he plays this part so well. I feel bad because any other movie or work of art that Robert does, all I see is Tony Stark and Iron Man, but he's made a great career out of that. Now, Robertson published in a journal of popular culture about Hollywood, the characterization of Tony Stark and Iron Man. So it certainly differs from Lee's original comic book creation. His role does not, though. The Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Stark also allows audiences to explore, examine, and confront America's national identity. Now, reading that, it was definitely like, oh, that's interesting. And when you look at when the first Iron Man came out in 2008, this is when there was some war and a lot of unknown political things happening in overseas, over in the Middle West and East, and confusion. I was young at that point, so unfortunately I don't have any base knowledge, but I didn't know, unfortunately, due to media and stuff, that that side of the world was not good and they didn't like Americans. Now, it may have not been as effective of a society as it affected us more, like in the Cold War or Vietnam, but American society still feared. And I think it was almost genius of Marvel Universe to create a film where this American gets captured by a terrorist group in Afghanistan and saves the day and uses hope and doesn't use violence to kill them. It was genius because the motivation of the film now is people who love the film subconsciously is going to be like, well, I have hope in Tony Stark and Iron Man that things will be okay. I don't fear what's happening overseas. And therefore, they're putting their faith and their trust and maybe fear into Marvel's hands. And I think it's absolutely genius for them to start it, especially with Phase 1. And when you look at additional films as, you know, the years go on, you see they press issues that are currently happening. So they're going with society, with their fears, with their hopes, with their desires, and I think that's why it's such a big phenomenon and a big as an event as it is. Now, John Hagen, in Etc., a review of General Cinematics, stated, while technology in Iron Man is always changing, the focus has always been on the interaction between humanity and mechanics, which can seem to be read on page 201. Now, even though we can see the political side, which I just discussed, truly it's about machines, technology, and humanity. We're in an era where you have a mini robot in your hands at 24/7, your phone, and we are controlled by technology more than I think we like to admit. We lean on it. It's a necessity. You can't go anywhere without technology, a mini machine. And I think Iron Man showed how that can be amazing. That could be beneficial, even though there is a negative side, because almost in every film, there's a bad guy with their own copycat version of the Iron Man suit, but you see it fails or it doesn't work out and he's able to defeat them. So I think it shows this almost fight we have with technology as humans, as we see the benefits of technology, but we're also afraid of the repercussions. And I think Iron Man brings that hope and sense that, like, technology can be good. It just has to be in the right hands. So let's continue with Tony Stark, with his appearance. And honestly, I feel like this plays a huge part in his character development. You know, a lot of characters and superheroes in the Marvel Universe films or even comic books are these big, strong, buff guys, or there's these girls who are just perfect bodies, and it's just your idea of something perfect because it's unrealistic. So you have unrealistic expectation of what superheroes would look like. Now, Tony Stark is what I would think a male model on the cover of Vogue magazine. He's not necessarily buff or strong like Thor, but the way he's dressed and he carries himself really shows that. And I also think it also shows that Tony Stark is not technically a superhero, which is an interesting point. He is human. Even though his heart got hurt and he had to amp it out using technology and his intelligence to save his beating heart and make sure he's alive, he's still a human. So I think for him, body type, normal guy, but to dress him up to show he's just a wealthy guy who is smart. He is fully dressed, always in suits in the beginning of the films, shiny shoes, and of course his sunglasses. He's known for his modern sunglasses, and he keeps them without, and you realize he actually has his technology that he created, that kind of like his own personal Siri, as you will, within these sunglasses. And it just shows his almost status, that even though he's working with a bunch of superheroes or people from outer space, he's still going to walk there looking like he's going to a red carpet event. And you can tell when he walks in the room, people are going to take him seriously, even in a non-human setting. Now, he's very well-groomed. You know, he has the styled mustache and goatee, and even in fighting scenes where he's bleeding and cuts, his hair's still perfect. It's still groomed, so it does kind of show that, like, he's a well-taken person, that even though he's going to save the world, he's going to take time for himself, that which also emphasizes the wealth he has. Now, throughout the movie's progress, he gets into more relaxed and athletic clothing. Of course, when he first started, he's all in, like, power suits and dress suits and stuff, but it becomes more relaxed, and I think it shows that he's caring less about what he looks like, but more about the situation at hand, which I think is really cool, and kind of more like he feels most comfortable in an iron suit, not a cotton suit, as you will. Now, the Iron Man suit goes through a lot of changes. As the movie progresses, it develops and changes a lot with the technology and also stuff he needs and doesn't need. But I think it's most interesting the colors that they use, red and gold. Now, these are colors you can see in a fighting scene when they have a perspective of a aerial shot. You can see red, you can see it, the gold and the shiny. But I think it's actually more that these colors are like a power symbol. Gold. When you think gold, you automatically think of money. You think of wealth. When you think red, you think of something strong and bold. And I think there's a reason his suit's that color, is to remind you that he's this wealthy, strong, and bold character. And when he starts in the films creating suits for example, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, he makes him his own version of a Spider-Man suit. So he still has his Spider-Man traditional, like, this onesie, but the colors kind of change to, like, metallic and, like, a red, and then, like, the blue is this dark metallic blue, almost becomes sophisticated and looks elegant and rich. So it really shows that, like, Iron Man himself, even though he, you can say, quote-unquote, has become more humble, I use that term humble very lightly, but he still has the qualities of playboy, bachelor, rich guy with daddy's money. And I think that was really awesome that they did that in the costume design. Now, going on with Iron Man's persona, personality, and language. Now, watching the Marvel films nowadays is entertaining, as it's not just an action movie filled with amazing fighting scenes and CGI. The script is actually hilarious. The jokes in it are modern and funny. And I think Iron Man's language really is the reason I think I watch them the most. He is sarcastic. Very sarcastic. And it kind of shows his intelligence that he's so sarcastic that people don't get his humor. And even though he may come off as mean, it's just his sarcasm. And the only people who really get it are people close to him, and so that shows that not everyone's in his bubble, so not everyone's in his headspace or understands his language and stuff. I think there's scenes where they question him sometimes, like he'll say a funny comment and then the people are like, huh? Or they're fighting these superheroes or villains and super gods, and I guess non-mortal creatures, and Tony Stark's over here just popping jokes, and they kind of look at him like, I don't get your reference. For example, in Avengers Infinity War, one of Thanos's little minions kind of is like a weird under-the-sea looking animal, and Tony Stark goes like, called him Squidward. And they kind of look at him like, what? And no one says anything around him, but like, in my head, I'm laughing. I'm like, that's genius. That's something only him understand, like, because it's a pop culture reference, and it kind of brings back to reality that, like, oh, this could technically happen. Like, he's still a human. It's still the 21st century. He's still making modern jokes. Now, I think this separates Tony from the other rich humans who have access to quote-unquote superhero-like technology. It shows that Tony is intelligent. Even though his humor can be harsh, and you'd be like, how is humor associated to intelligence? But I really think it's parallel. As you can see that out of the Avengers all have their strengths and weaknesses, and some are more humorous than others, but they all have a sense of humor, and they're all really smart. I think it's also a coping mechanism for him, as because there's a lot going in his life and events, it's easier for him to use humor, to use sarcasm, to kind of put all his emotions on. And you see a lot, because in more stressful situations, he gets more humorous, even though in your head you're like, you should be serious, people are dying, but he's over here cracking jokes. Now, there was this really interesting study done about translation in Iron Man using idioms and expressions, just because there is a lot of sarcastic comments and jokes made talking about how when translated to different languages, this can be lost, and therefore that's why it's so popular in America, and sometimes it can't be in other cultures because the jokes and the idioms and the comparisons do not translate correctly. So this was said by Muhammad Yana and Nila Islam in an article called Strategies Used in Translating Idiom in the Iron Man Movie. They say, the conclusion is acceptable in the case of idioms and cultural specific expressions. In other words, if direct equivalents for idioms or cultural expressions are not available, there needs to be another strategy used for a target audience. Furthermore, it can be inferred that this research can aid translating movies, idioms, and cultural expressions by breaking down the use and the jokes within. Now, this is really interesting because when I watch the movies, I'm like, oh, this is funny. But if someone doesn't understand the cultural take back of it, they may not understand Tony Stark's character, his language, as it is something unique in the Marvel Universe and the superhero universe as a whole. Now, the ethics of Iron Man and Tony Stark's character is quite interesting, as throughout the films, it changes because his character changes, his priority changes, therefore what he thinks is right and wrong and his morals are also changed. Now, even though in the Avengers Infinity War and in Avengers Endgame, he is seen as, oh, this powerful leader, which he naturally is, you see some of his quote-unquote weaknesses from, you know, Iron Man, the 2008 version, even Iron Man 2 and 3, as well as Captain America Civil War, those films come up again. But I think this is a great point to realize that what sets Iron Man apart is he is also a human. Said once again by John Hogan on page 201, he goes on to explain why Iron Man is different. He's a billionaire who is really smart and was able to create Superman-like technology and equipment. It is interesting to know that Stark has no special powers. He is just a superhero because he knows how to build things. And I think that is really interesting to put out. And you kind of have to put a grain of salt when you are now analyzing Iron Man. Because you can say he's cocky, he's full of himself, he's egotistic. But you have to realize he's a human. If anyone human had that amount of money, power, wealth, and was around
superhumans, you too would probably have flaws or weaknesses come up and be betrayed. And I think you see a lot of this happens when there is a little division in the Avengers group and what side they stand for, how they want to fight, how they want to make the world better. And I think you see the leadership role that Tony Stark takes on, and he understands that his intelligence is also his fault. And Thanos does say that to Iron Man, and Avengers Infinity Wars, he does make a comment that, like, you are cursed with intelligence. And I think that is quite interesting to put out, just because you would never think of intelligence being a superpower, but it truly is. Now, there was a thesis done about Iron Man and Captain America's relationship, but focusing on Iron Man, they talk about his character, about his guilt and redeeming himself. This was written by Robertson in a journal, Whatever It Takes, Redemption, Individualism, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In this thesis, he quotes on page 18, "Individualism lies at the core of Stark's persona. At the beginning of his story arc, he is portrayed as careless, reckless, and selfish. He lives by his own rules and flaunts authority and responsibility." Now, I found that was really interesting, as you definitely see those qualities, and you can see it's off-putting, and you realize when Stark gets kidnapped and he comes back, no one's worried about him. The only person that's worried is Pepper, which is his assistant, and his kind of like bodyguard manager guy. I forgot his name. Sorry for that. But that just shows that even though he has everything, all this money and wealth, he was by himself. He was an individual. He was stuck in his own mind and process. And I think when he grows throughout the movie, you realize he's no longer alone. And he doesn't have that quality anymore. Also in the article, again, they talk about his guilt and his redemption, and basically about his actions in, you know, Avengers Infinity Wars and Endgame, is because he has a sense of guilt for not doing the right thing, or not doing enough of it, or being selfish in the beginning of his life. And you really see him going over the edge, and maybe that's why he wants to be a leader so badly, as a way to forgive himself for things he has done in the past. Now, the two films that I think really show the growth, you know, this is like, okay, part A, part B, this is the part that really shows Iron Man and Tony Stark's development, is Infinity Wars and Endgame. Now, these films were two blockbusters and pushed the bar so high for special effects and CGI and superhero movies that I don't know how other companies or superhero corporations will be able to produce films in the next 20 years without being just topped by the visually and amazing plotline of the Avenger Cinematic Universe. Now, these two films together brought in a total of $5 billion to the box office. Endgame is currently at number one for being the highest grosses box office movie of all time. Now, this definitely keeps the audience at the edge of their seat. It is action-packed. It is filled with so much emotions. I remember seeing it in the theaters for the first time, and I was crying, I was laughing, I was on the edge of my seat. It was a roller coaster of emotions. The characters within these films are unmatched, including Iron Man. It's just amazing to see how Iron Man has grown from once this cocky guy with a lot of money to now this guy who almost this role model in the Avengers group. And even though there is conflicts and stuff, people still respect him. And I think that is quite amazing. And to be hated to then respected, I think, is such growth. The Marvel Cinematic Universe films
are commonly seen using a lot of warm colors. Like I said before, the Iron Man suit is red and gold. In the film, you see a lot of reds and yellows and golds and purple. Now, looking at these colors, you may be like, well, I guess they just stand out. But almost all the superheroes, this is like the color of their suit, their persona, their superpowers that come out of their hands. This is the colors that show. And I think it's because these colors are associated with power and wealth. And I think it makes them stand out that even though they are superhumans or they have technology beyond our compare, our imagination, they are still very powerful people. And I gotta say, the soundtrack also brings that dramatic flair and that cinematic feel to the film that, you know, if there's moments where, you know, Iron Man is, you know, fighting, and it's just, you know, dramatic, and then it kind of pause, and then it gets a high-pitched, you know, kind of, like, carefree sound, and you turn around, and it's Peter Parker, because Peter Parker is this, you know, quirky little teen who's coming, and he's going to help save his idol, Iron Man, which I think is really good. Now, going into that, let's talk about the character relationship between Iron Man and the people that I think are the most impactful for him, and that would be Peter Parker and Pepper Potts. Now, I guess he has a thing for people who have P's in their names, but anyway, I think the relationships are the biggest testimony to Tony Stark's character development. With Peter Parker, it is quite amazing because he becomes a father figure to him, and you would think, Iron Man? Tony Stark? Being a father? But when you get to the end of the films, and you know he does become a father, you're like, he is a father. He does have that protective instinct, and you really see it when his character meets Peter Parker. Like, it really is emphasized. You know, for those who don't know, Peter Parker is also known as Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and he is this intelligent, quirky little teenager with superpowers of a spider. Now, just like Iron Man, he is very intelligent, so I think that's what drawn to him, and he wanted to protect him, just because, unfortunately, Iron Man's father, Tony Stark's father, Howard Stark, didn't really guide him in the best way. I think there was a lot of, you know, the intelligence and the company and the industry, yes, but I think he wanted a better role model, and that's who he's becoming for Peter. And I think that really shows the father side. Now, Pepper Potts was his assistant, and she was really the only one who saw through the rich bachelor asshole act, and she knew what he was capable of. She knew he was a human, and even though he didn't want to act like it, he act like a super god, she knew that he was a human, and she loved him through that, and they loved each other, and you know, of course they got together, which is really cute. But she's kind of proof that Tony Stark is capable of love, and is a reminder he is human. Humans are not perfect. They have flaws. They're not gods like Thor. And I think that really emphasized that Tony Stark is this human who just needed some love and nurturing. And once he finds his people and Avengers and people like him, he finds that aspect and that thing that he needed. And he's able to put that then on others. Now, I would say he is a modern hero. He's inspirational, and he stands up for what he believes in. And sometimes when you stand up for what you believe in, you're going to have people who disagree. People may see you as cocky or a know-it-all because you're standing up and you're not going with the crowd. And even if you're right or wrong, standing up for what you believe in, I think, is heroic. And therefore, even though he's technically not a superhero, that's a superhero quality. I would definitely say if we lived in a world where superheroes were real, he would definitely be Elon Musk. Just the way that his technology and his presence and his Tony Stark and Iron Man is a household name, like he's a real character, is quite phenomenal. Now, parallel to Iron Man's growth as a person is also in technology. It is seen like throughout it that it advances. You know, there's new little, every once in a while, like for example, in a couple of the scenes, he's like, oh, I added this feature. Oh, let's try this one. And, you know, it goes on, and you'll see in the films, there's also this parallel of, you know, maybe he'll help someone on the street. Like, they'll show a pan view of a chaotic fighting scene, and he goes over and just helps a normal pedestrian who's fallen from the ground get up. And even though it's literally 0.05 of a millisecond of scene of him just helping someone else, and you're probably more focused on the, you know, spaceship in the sky, it's little things like that. Just like there's little advancements in the technology that may save the day. He's almost saving himself and his reputation in the long run. I think Tony Stark's character qualities grew, and it was not just about, you know, machinery and money. It was about humans. He put his trust in humans and to people. And yeah, some of the people were quote unquote not superhero powers or, you know, abnormal abilities, but he put his trust in people. And I think that's the biggest. It was not only himself or an individual aspect, it was this group and this teamwork. Even though looking back, Tony Stark, it may seem like a complex and complicated storyline or something to dive into, the more I did research and the more I watched the films, it was just about a guy who was handed a lot of money and intelligence, and he changed. He opened his heart and he was changed. One of the most, I think, profound scenes and kind of catchphrase of Tony Stark is they have his like mechanical heart that's helping him live, and they take it out and it's displayed and it says proof that Tony Stark had a heart. So even though he comes off as an asshole and this rich guy, he truly cared for people. And this is the change that I think American society hopes for. They hope for that even though we as a whole, we may not be liked or respected as a country, hopefully we are growing alongside our technology to be respected and to, you know, take fault of our mistakes. And I think that's why Iron Man is America's superhero, because just like Iron Man, we're all humans. We're in a country filled with a lot of possibilities. People have the chance to be educated. People have the chance to become the millionaires and billionaires. It's when we get to that, will we use that wealth and that power for good? And will we give that hope to others? And I think that's the development and the analysis of Tony Stark and Iron Man. He is more than a superhero. I think he's an idol, as people can look up to him in many different ways. Now, to wrap this all up, I do believe that Tony Stark has completed his journey. Though as a person who likes the Marvel franchise and Iron Man character, I was sad to see one of my favorite characters die. But I think he completed a full circle of self-growth and realization. And I think that's why, even though his death was sad, it was almost just like, okay, he did what he had to do. He changed. Because when you see in the first films, like I talked about, and even the research that I spoke about, they say he comes off as selfish. His character is not light. It's...
though at the end of his life, he's selfless. He's a family man, and he's someone who uses his intelligence and wealth to save the world and the lives of those he cares for. And I think that is the biggest growth and development a character can have. I think the one scene that really highlights and almost is the Marvel Cinematic Universe's way of being like, this character did what he needed to do, he grew the way he needed to grow, and he inspired those he needed to inspire, was the funeral scene. This is seen in Avengers Endgame. Now, you see all the superheroes together in mourning. All the ones. And I think that's powerful that he got all these people in one place. And even though in a lot of the other films, he divided the two, and there was conflict and stuff, there was this mutual respect for him. It was a peaceful and simple funeral, because I think at the end of the day, love and respect is priceless. He was admired not only as a human and a father and a husband and a role model, but he also was respected
as a superhero, even though he technically may not be counted as one, he is one because he had abnormal human qualities. He fought for what he believed and he stood up and he used his intelligence to save the world. I feel like if he died, let's say, in the first two Iron Man movies, even though his funeral would have been elaborate and there would be way more people, no one would be there to actually respect and care or grieve for the loss of Iron Man or Tony Stark. They would just go because they want to see the famous bachelor or the famous playboy one more time, just to say they went, as an experience, not actually as respecting the loss of someone. And I think that is the most important growth. And that's why I feel Iron Man is America's superhero.